I was brought up in a church that did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was all a challenge. And when I was reading Scripture, I was, especially the New Testament, I kind of thought, well, actually, I'm not sure about this. And I went to a particular event, like a mission, you know, an evangelistic event, and it was quite powerful. And so I went forward at the end and went forward and because I wanted to receive the fullness of the Spirit, baptism of the Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And so I went forward and I was put with this particular person who I actually knew and said, she says, what do you want? I want to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, there isn't such a thing. And I went, oh, okay. So I didn't say anything. He just prayed for me generally. And I went home and I didn't think anything of it for a while. But later in my life, I came to a set of circumstances where I kind of felt I needed something more of God. The difficulties that I was going to face and the issues that were facing and the challenges, I just felt I can't handle this myself. And so I went to some friends of mine who I knew had been filled with the Spirit. And I sort of said, look, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to have something in my life that will enable me to do that I need to do. And one would have thought it would have been easy, wouldn't you? Well, okay. I seemed to struggle with all these things. And I had I was so determined that I wanted this power of the Spirit. And it must have taken me 2 months going back to see this guy and him praying with me. And and I always remember the occasion when, the third occasion where, as he was praying, he just said, just speak in prayer, just let go, as it were. And as he was praying for me, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I can't really explain all of that, but what it felt like was that I'd been like a champagne bottle and somebody had shaken it up inside and then pushed the top off, and it was just like a whoosh. And it was just the most wonderful experience that I have had before then and since, although I've had other experiences of the Holy Spirit since then. And from then on, I just felt that I had the resources within me to be able to do stuff that I wasn't able to do in my own strength. And that's the whole point about being filled with the Spirit. It's not that we have an experience, although it's wonderful, and I would encourage all of you to seek the filling of the Spirit, but it's about enabling us to be and do that God wants us to do. And the passage that's before us is actually the same passage in Acts where Peter in his sermon uses these verses. But let me just read the passage that is before us, Joel chapter 2 and verse 38. The context of this is that Joel has been speaking of blessing following judgment on the Israelites. Probably a foreseeable future event, not to do with end times as we would perhaps think of them. He also states that he's seen a great devastation coming, so he calls for repentance. And those who call on God's name in repentance will be saved from the judgment to come. The verses I'm reading, I think, would have been a real surprise to those who were listening at the time of Joel. So let's read the words. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now, Peter used these verses following the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he was saying that in his day, in this day, this had been fulfilled. And, I mean, if you notice the words, they're quite significant in Joel. He will pour out his spirit on all people. Now, up until the time of Joel, it was usually the case that the Holy Spirit came upon specific individuals, like judges. Some of them were kings or prophets, to do that which they couldn't do themselves. It was a very specific reason why the Spirit came upon them. And very different, in one sense, to the coming of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts. And so all people, all nations, all peoples across the world. It was a fantastic prophecy. And it must have really confused people. And he talks about there will be dreams, visions and prophecies. Wow. I mean, there'd been prophecies, particularly in the Old Testament, and lots of people have been prophesying. Saul himself prophesied. King Saul himself did. But this was something different. This was something much beyond, far beyond that. There will be cosmic events, supernatural events in the day of the Lord. I mean, there's a whole sermon just thinking about the day of the Lord. But we are in the day of the Lord. And the Spirit has been given at the beginning of the day of the Lord. And we are part of that. And the Spirit has been given. When we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. We're born of the Spirit of God. And each one of us here this morning, if we know Jesus, if we've repented and we've asked Christ into our lives, we've received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in us. And we have that resource. And the disciples, the apostles, had spent 3 years with Jesus and they had had all sorts of experiences and they believed, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit in this particular special way. Words like blood, fire, and we've shaken our things this morning, fire and darkness are all signs of the presence of God. And verse 32, salvation for all, deliverance from God's wrath. Now, this was for all people. Joel was living in a time where the Israelites just believed that they'd forgotten that they'd been called to reach out to the whole world. And they were focusing on themselves. And here was a message saying, this salvation is for everybody, all nations, all peoples. And just a wonderful word of prophecy. And in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, it's interesting to note that Scripture as a whole speaks of the Holy Spirit as breath, wind, and charis, that is, the supernatural. And when we think of the coming of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit is using words, particular words which are very similar. Wind, power, fire, holiness. And tongues, charis. And all throughout Scripture, these kinds of words are used to describe the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And this morning, I hope that, if anything comes, nothing else comes from the sermon this morning, I just pray that each one of you will seek to know God more. That's what I really want. But the Holy Spirit is engaged in that process. And we must open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit so that we might be empowered to know God in his greatness, in his power, in his might, in his holiness, in his judgment, etc., etc. On receiving the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, something happened that was quite extraordinary. And it wasn't just confined to those people in that room. When they went out and Peter began to speak, Peter said this in chapter 2 of verse 15 of Acts. Peter said, These aren't drunk, as you suppose. What was going on? Why would he say that? Something had happened to those people that they appeared to be almost drunk. But it wasn't with wine, obviously. It was with the Holy Spirit. Some of you will have experienced that yourselves. But something had happened, and it was obvious. It was clear. It was absolutely spectacular. But what I want to ask this morning is, why was the coming of the Holy Spirit so important? The disciples, we read in verse, let me read the verses in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Whilst Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around and asked him, Lord, at what time are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven? I just find that really odd. He'd given them a commission. He told that they were going to be baptized with the Spirit. And then they're thinking, well, okay. Doesn't mean really much. But actually, he said, no. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there was wait for, oh dear, for the Spirit. I'm getting excited, that's why. Wait for the Spirit. For what reason? So they might be empowered to do what they couldn't do, that is to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and the world. Power to be witnesses. Power to start the church, which we celebrate today, the birthday of the church today. But it's about power. It's about the enabling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And something that we need so much in our lives, and particularly in our society, is power. Do you feel strong? Well, in your own strength, do you feel strong? I don't. Sometimes when I think, when I was a minister, I used to think, what am I doing this for? I don't feel able to do this. I'm weak. And, even looking at you now, I think, whoa, dear me, what can I do for these people? But the Holy Spirit brings power in preaching, brings power in life, brings power in the church, brings power in all sorts of ways so that we can do that we cannot do in our own strength. And if you feel you can't do any your own strength, you need the Holy Spirit. And if you have never received the Holy Spirit in power, can I urge you to seek for it? Because we need power from on high. I just want to just extend it a little bit from power to witness, because we're starting a series on the Holy Spirit. And so often when you do a series of the Holy Spirit, it can get a bit technical, it can get a bit theological, it can get a bit, heavy at times. But I just want to just introduce this series by saying that there is power for us. There is power for us to go. There is power for us to sow. There is power for us to grow. And there is power for us to know. We need a dependence on God's Holy Spirit for the things that we cannot do. Power to go, we've thought about that a little bit, but we can't save anybody, can we? I mean, I remember one day when I was one of our relatives. He, for the first time, he opened up and he kind of said, well, what's all this about? He never wanted to talk about Christianity, but he said, what's this all about? And I dived in. Good old me. My own strength. you know, and I just went for it. And he looked at me at the end of our discussion and he said, okay, fair enough. He never, ever raised the issue again. So we need wisdom. We need power to be wise as well as to be, if you like, going for the jugular. We don't need to go for the jugular because it's the work of the Spirit. It's not our work. But we do need to do that work. We do need to speak. We do need to talk. We do need to share. But it's the work of the Spirit. All we can do is share the gospel. For them, the day of Pentecost, it was not Peter as he stood up. I mean, we've had a series on Peter. Well, I've been looking at Peter over the last few months in my quiet times, and just a staggering person, Peter. One minute he's way, the next minute he's doing all the wrong things. He's saying all the wrong things. He's just messed up. And here Peter is transformed, and he stands up and preaches. And if you read the sermon, it's a challenging thing. It's incredible, really. And then at the end of it, 3,000 people become Christians. The church is established through one sermon by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter, it was the Holy Spirit. So we need to do the work of going and speaking, but we need a power to enable us to actually be aware of what that person needs. God empowers us by his Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. We need the Holy Spirit in our nation to come in a powerful way. But we need it in God's people first. To transform, to change, to enable, to empower. I love it when I hear of people who become Christians because out of the blue they've had a vision of Jesus. No contact with a Christian, they have a vision of Jesus. And I was just listening to somebody the other day saying that he was on a plane and he met a lady. She said there was just something in her eyes that attracted him to speak to her. And he said he just had a clue as why it might be going on. Because the first question he asked is, are you a Christian? A strange question to ask a stranger, isn't it? But that's what he did. And she said, well, yes, I am. And she said, well, why do you ask? So he explained. And within a few minutes, she led him to Christ. But you see, it's something about the work of the Spirit. She hadn't said anything. But there was something within her that attracted him to actually say, well, what's going on in your life? There's something different. And we need something different in our lives, don't we? We're weak. We're helpless. We need power. Power to go. Power to be those who declare the truth. But we need also power to sow. Power in the church to sow truth. Power in the truth in the church to experience the wideness of God's working. Leaders, teachers, pastors, people who are caring for people. We need the gifts of the Spirit to actually reach into their lives, to speak to them. And it's so easy just to get alongside a person and do the technical stuff when they're struggling or when they're in difficulties. But again, there are the gifts of the Spirit in those moments that can actually just give us the word. It might be a word of prophecy. It might be a word of wisdom. I always remember I'll just give this illustration. I wasn't going to, but I will give it. I was pastoring a particular lady who got huge problems. And as I was just talking with her, I hadn't got a clue what to do. Really, I hadn't got a clue. And a picture came into my mind. And it was this of an enormous wardrobe. I mean, what a picture to be given. I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? It didn't make sense to me at the time. But as I just said, look, as we talked a little bit more, and I just said, look, I just have this picture of a wardrobe. And she just broke down. And I won't go into the details, but Awardra was really had a terrible significance in her life. And God began to work in her life. She still had huge problems, but it was the beginning of a movement forward. So when we need the power of the Holy Spirit, we need gifts, supernatural stuff, to be people of power, to help others, to sow into the church, to sow into people's lives, to sow into, yes, the community, in just maybe even practical ways. Because gifts are not just about, this, if you like, the supernatural. They can be about, the ordinary. We need power to sow. We need power of the Spirit to grow. We need power to grow. And the obvious passage is the Galatian passage and also in Corinthians, where we have the fruit of the Spirit. We're being changed. We're being changed. Are we being changed from one glory to another? But it's got nothing to do with us. It's about the work of the Spirit inside of us, transforming, changing. And we don't notice the change, do we? Because it's something that happens over the years. But actually we need to be open to the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, to actually reveal to us areas in our lives where we do need to change, where we do need to grow. And therefore, as we're aware of those things, we can begin to pray into that, to pray that the Holy Spirit might change us and make us more like Christ. My prayer over the years has been, Lord, make me more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. I can't do it myself. We can't do it ourselves. It's something that God, by His Spirit, does within us. There is we need the Holy Spirit to build love within us, a genuine love, to release peace within us, and that inner joy. We can't do that ourselves, and sometimes when we're in difficult circumstances, joy is perhaps the last thing we think of. But somehow, the Holy Spirit can just, inside, it's not that we go around being happy or dancing all over the place, but somehow inside there's something that the Spirit just moves. And then power to know. Time's gone, but my experience of the church over the years, and I've been to a number of churches and I've heard and preached loads and loads of sermons, and I've done a great deal of teaching. But the danger is that we get into a intellectual thinking of Scripture. Home groups, church meetings, sermons. It's about knowledge. It's about understanding. You know something? We can't understand it at all. We've got no real understanding of God. We've really got no understanding about creation. We've really got no understanding of the church, what it should be. We've got no real understanding of what I should really be. And yet we put ourselves into this intellectual slot that tries to work everything out. And let me tell you, we can't. The more we know, the less we know. That's great to hear you agreeing with that. Because actually, the more we know, actually we recognise that there's just so much more. And yeah, we get caught up in it. And what we need power for is to know Christ and His resurrection. Power. We need to know God intimately and sort of escape you at this moment, but to know God truly, not to know about God, But to know him, we need power to do that. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Power to go. Power to sow. Power to grow. Power to know. Let me say this, though, before I conclude. I think these are really important things. Experiences of the Holy Spirit are wonderful. Baptism of the Spirit is wonderful. But if we are not changed by the Holy Spirit, those experiences are wasted. Knowledge of Scripture and theology is incredibly stimulating and great. But if the Spirit does not lead us into a greater knowledge of God himself, that knowledge means nothing. I think that is two really important things to say, because it gives the balance of power and reality. So let me conclude. The reason the Holy Spirit was given was to empower the apostles. This is true for all believers today, to be witnesses in our community and in our front lines, to open our mouths that the Spirit might give the words for us to speak. The Holy Spirit is given to empower us as we seek to serve one another using our anointed natural gifts, but also the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to empower us, to change us, to make us more like Christ. The Holy Spirit is given us to have the right kind of knowledge of God himself, not just about him. We can do nothing except through Christ who strengthens us. Let me conclude with these verses from 1 Ephesians 18 to 20. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is ours. That's what this is saying. Will you seek that power? Will you ask God to send the Holy Spirit that you might be empowered to be people of power, to be people of resurrection? Experience? That's the wrong word, but you know what I'm trying to say. We need to be resurrection power people. And may we seek the Holy Spirit to enable us to be that. Amen.